Well, please do sit down. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us now as we start this series on the fruit of the Spirit. Please be with us as we reflect on your word and speak to us afresh today, we pray. Amen. Well, we live in a world, don't we, where we are constantly being encouraged to follow. Maybe you follow a football team and look for their results on your smartphone at about 4:30 every Saturday. Maybe you follow the latest plot, twists and turns on EastEnders or Coronation Street, or maybe even The Archers. Maybe you're a keen follower of politics or current affairs. Maybe you follow lots of people on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, the list goes on. We are called, aren't we, to be followers in our world. We're expected to be followers by our world. But does it make much of a difference who we follow? For the most part, no. I might think your football team are not worth following, that your list of social media follows are a bit odd, but they're not necessarily wrong. Most of these things are, of course, just a matter of taste or a matter of opinion. They don't, for the most part, really matter that much at all. But there is one person who calls us to follow them, and it really matters if we do or we don't. And that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us to follow him. We see this picture of following Jesus in the gospel accounts when Jesus calls his disciples, what we might call the first Christians, to follow him. One example comes from Matthew's gospel in chapter 4, where we read this. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, where they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left their boat and their father and followed him. Now, it's a very remarkable scene, isn't it? Ordinary men at work, getting on with their jobs, and Jesus walks up and says, "Follow me," and they drop everything and follow him. It's remarkable, isn't it? It's a remarkable scene. And if it's true of those first disciples, it would seem to be true of us as well. We're called to follow Jesus. That is what the start of the Christian life is like. We start to follow Jesus. And that's what the Christian life should look like for all of us going forwards. A life of following Jesus. But of course, then we need to ask, well, what does it mean to follow Jesus? It's a sort of phrase, isn't it? A two-word phrase that could mean anything if we're not careful. Like the way a political slogan, maybe the most famous one over the last so many years, "Take back control." That's three words, isn't it? But it can mean lots of things to lots of different people. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, maybe you've been a Christian for a while and you're sitting here fairly confident, thinking, you know, I know what it means to follow Jesus. Of course I know. I've been at this for a while. Or maybe you're new to the Christian faith. And when I say follow Jesus, you just don't have the first clue what I am talking about. Well, whatever you're thinking, as I mention this phrase, following Jesus or follow Jesus, I hope over the next few minutes to remind us of key truths of what it means to follow Jesus, and for others who are maybe new to these things, to fill in and clarify what this might mean for you today if you haven't yet started following Jesus. Well, where to begin? Well, I'm sure we could say a lot and we could be here for quite some time, but so that we will be able to grasp a few things and also have our picnics in due course, I want us to focus on three things. Three follows. If we're to follow Jesus, we must follow his voice. We must follow his voice. And then one of the key ways if we follow someone is to listen to them. So, for example, if we go on a walk with a group of people, we will listen to the leader of that walk as they direct us where to go. Maybe they've got a map. Maybe they have walked the route before. Maybe they've got some other more high-tech way of directing you one place or another. As they point us out beauty spots, as they point to us challenges and hazards on the route. Or if you're used to rural life, you maybe have seen a farmer or a shepherd using a sheepdog to gather in sheep. As the sheep are herded, the dog listens to the voice of the farmer or the shepherd. And if a child, we've got children here, wants to complete a task at school, what do you need to do? You need to listen to the voice of your teacher. You need to pay attention. You can't do the maths problem or do the spelling if you don't listen to the teacher. We must pay careful attention to their instructions. And it's the same if we're to follow Jesus. We must listen to his voice. Indeed, if we're one of Jesus' followers, we will listen to his voice and follow him. In John chapter 10, verses 2 to 5, Jesus is speaking and using the picture of a shepherd and his sheep. And he says this, "But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." So the point Jesus is making is if we follow Jesus, we hear his voice, and we follow him. These things are intimately connected. Jesus also makes this clear when he tells his disciples what they're to do just before he goes to heaven after he's died and been resurrected. At the end of Matthew's gospel, he is speaking to them and he says this, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples or followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." So Jesus is saying that followers or disciples must hear his voice and obey it. Or we might say, follow his voice. But that's not to say that following Jesus is all about keeping rules so that Jesus will somehow be pleased with us and then we'll be in his favor. Jesus does call us to live differently, but the first commandment that Jesus gives every single person in the world is to trust in him, to believe in the gospel, to put our trust in him to save us from all our sin and rebellion, to turn away from our sin and rest in him, not in what we do. And once we've done that, once we've trusted in Jesus, then we can enter into the path of following Jesus as we trust him, obeying his voice. Not to earn the salvation we have in Jesus, but out of gratitude for all that he has done for us. But the sharp and observant among you this morning will be wondering, but we don't have the apostles, Sean. Peter, John, and the rest are not here today to tell me Jesus' commands. They can't come and tell what Jesus taught so that we can obey it. Now, friends, that is true. They are not still here. They would be very old. But wonderfully, they wrote down what they needed to in the books of the New Testament so that God's people throughout history would have access to what Jesus taught and what it looks like to follow Jesus. And these books come ultimately through the work of the Spirit, and we understand them by the Spirit's work in us as we read them and seek to follow Jesus. So friends, if we want to follow Jesus, if we've been following him for a while, if we're just starting out following him, we must trust in him and listen to his voice. So that means for every follower of Jesus, the Bible must have a central place in our walk with Jesus. We can't follow Jesus with a closed Bible, because if we do, we're not listening to him. If we want to follow Jesus, we must follow him by listening to his word in the Bible. If we don't listen to his voice and his word, then we will not be those who are following Jesus. We will instead be following just about everything else, but we will not be following Jesus. So friends, let me encourage you to pick up your Bible and read it, knowing that in this book we have Spirit-inspired words that point us to Jesus and his word. But how does this following Jesus stuff work out in our life now? We read, we listen, but what next? Well, secondly, we must follow his spirit. Follow his spirit. We read a few moments ago in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, that we're called to walk by the Spirit as Christians. Or we might say, we are to follow by the Spirit, or we're to live by the Spirit. One writer, a man called John Fesco, helpfully sees in this language a picture that draws from the Old Testament. People coming out of Egypt, maybe you've seen the Prince of Egypt, and they're coming out of Egypt from slavery, and they're following the pillar of cloud and fire. And that's what we're called to do. We're God's people, and we're to walk or follow by the Spirit. But who is the Spirit, you may well be asking? Well, maybe you're tempted to think of the Spirit a bit like magic, or like the Force from Star Wars. But as Christians, we recognize that the Spirit is not some random power or stuff. No, the Holy Spirit is God. We believe in one God who is revealed to us in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the three persons are one God united in their work. Paul sort of wonderfully summarizes this in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. He says this there, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." So you've got a picture there of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. So there is one God at work. One God at work. Three persons working in unity. And that unity of purpose and work is seen in how Jesus speaks about the Spirit. He says that he sends the Spirit, the same Spirit that the Father will give to his people. So this is who we are called to walk by or follow. We are to follow the Spirit of Christ. This is, according to John Fesco, how Christ leads his people, through the work of the Spirit. It's quite a remarkable thing to say and think, isn't it? That Jesus, through the Spirit, leads his people and calls his people to follow, to walk by the Spirit. But what does that actually mean? What does that mean in practice? To walk by the Spirit. Is this some super spiritual experience that we've got to tap into? That we need to be given a code to? That we need to get some secret handshake to be invited into? Well, firstly, friends, let me just say that there's, I suppose, a bit of a tension when we think about walking by the Spirit. Because we're called to do something, but it is God the Spirit who ultimately does that work in our lives. So we're called to pursue that which only God the Spirit can bring about. So when you say walk by the Spirit, you're called to do something you can't do. You're called to do something that only the Spirit can do. Secondly, as you look at this little portion of Galatians chapter 5, the context helps us because we can see there that much of what is opposite to the walking in the Spirit helps us to understand what it looks like to walk by the Spirit. So walking by the Spirit seems to be opposite to the desires and works of the flesh in verses 17 and 19. Also, if you're to look back to 13 and 15, we see that walking by the Spirit is clearly not biting and devouring each other, verse 15. Walking by the Spirit seems to be to do with loving one another and fulfilling the law, verse 14. So we might say that walking by the Spirit is pursuing that which the Spirit is for and would work in our lives over against the indwelling desires of our sinful nature. It is to pursue obedience to God and to Jesus over against sin that is opposed to the Spirit's work in our life. It is, according to one writer, to submit to the Spirit day by day. And if we so follow the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, then we will be, according to one writer, we will be those who evidence the fruit of the Spirit, which are listed in verse 22, in our lives. So the call to walk by the Spirit is to pursue that which the Spirit alone will work in our lives. And if that's the case, friends, then we must humbly recognize that if we walk by the Spirit, then we are those who walk by grace. Because the Spirit is God. The Spirit does not work in relation to our efforts. The Spirit works in our lives sovereignly. He's in charge, not us. Yet we are called to walk by the Spirit, to pursue the virtues that the Spirit works in those who follow Jesus. And of course, this walking by the Spirit is really just walking by faith in Jesus. It is literally following him. That's clear from the picture of Christ leading us through the wilderness by his Spirit, as God led his people by the pillar in the wilderness. But it's also clear if we look back at Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. It says this there. Paul says, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit of works, by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" So Paul's sort of saying, did you receive the Spirit by believing in Jesus or doing something? So if we receive the Spirit through faith in Christ, we then walk by the Spirit by faith in Christ, seeking Christ to freshly enable us to follow him. One writer, John Piper, puts it like this. You began by receiving the Spirit by faith. You go on experiencing the supply of the Spirit by faith. And a great help to do that, to work out what it is that we're aiming to do, is not to, according to one writer, view the list given to us in verse 22 as a to-do list. You could be quite tempted to do this. I wonder if you like to-do lists. I like to-do lists. You're writing them down. You go, oh, yes, this week I've got to do this, 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 and this. And you work through your little list, ticking it off in your jotter or your notebook or your app or whatever you use to do your to-do lists. We all love to-do lists. Well, I'm not sure we love them, but they are our masters to some degree, aren't they? It'd be tempting to view the fruit of the Spirit like a to-do list. This is what I've got to do. But a writer that I found really helpful says it's maybe not so much a to-do list, but it's more a he's done list. In other words, if we want to see the fruit of the Spirit most clearly and powerfully, we see it in the life of Jesus, the one who is filled with the Spirit. According to the writer Jonathan Cruz, if we want to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we must first see it in the life of Jesus. We must be drawn deeper into Christ in faith and love, that we may experience fuller and richer communion with him. A close examination of the character of Christ is the only thing that will change our character. So, thirdly then, we must follow Jesus' pattern. We must follow Jesus' pattern. So if we're to walk in the Spirit, if we're to follow Jesus, we are to be those who walk like the Savior walked. We are to follow his footsteps. We are to see his life and be changed and formed by him. So if that's right, then we are forced not to trying to discern some spiritual experience that walking by the Spirit is, that will get us the fruit listed in verse 22, but rather to look at the one who displays the fruit perfectly in his life and be changed by him, because God wants us to be fruitful. We saw that in the reading from Matthew's gospel, where there was this great challenge to people, why are you not bearing fruit? And that's the pattern of the Bible. We often read, don't we, of us that we're called to act in certain ways in light of how Jesus acted. As our example, So friends, if we want to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we need to look at Jesus. We need to be formed by his life, to see him for who he really is. And if we do so, if we, according to the 17th century theologian John Owen, attain a view of the glory of Christ, it will be effective for the transformation of our souls into his image. So if we're to be followers of Jesus, we must listen to his voice. We must follow his spirit as he leads us. And we must follow his pattern, his life, so that we might be formed into his image. And that's what we aim to do over the next few weeks, to really slow down and chew over the fruit of the Spirit as it is revealed to us in the character of Jesus Christ. I suppose this is not so much a series on the fruit of the Spirit as it's a series of the fruit of the Spirit in the life of Jesus. Because we want to see Jesus. To, as one writer puts it, see and savor him. And as we do so, let's pray that God's Spirit would make us more like Jesus, and therefore evidence the fruit of the Spirit increasingly in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be those who follow Jesus. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do so by pursuing, by your grace, the virtues that Jesus exemplifies. Help us to see in his life and to be formed by him, that we might be more godly, that we might be full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We want to have these things, Heavenly Father, and we pray that as we reflect on how these things are seen in the life of Jesus, that they would become more true of us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.